Good morning. Ooh, I am filled with some energy. I'm filled with some excitement, and I think you're going to have to do much better than that if you're going to keep up with me today. So let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I've been sitting back there telling myself, Kevin, as you're preparing and you're delivering the message today, you got to have a little bit of energy, and you got to have a little bit of excitement, because today I'm going to preach about us. Today, I'm going to preach about this church. Today, I'm going to have some suggestions of some things that we need to do getting ready for a new preacher, getting ready for a coming year. Today, I want to preach about us. But to start off with, it's going to require some audience participation. And don't worry, it's real easy. All you got to do is raise your hand. Okay? So I'm going to start out with three questions. Are you ready? Who here loves Jesus? Okay. We seem to be pretty unified there. Who wants to go to heaven? I think we all want to do that. That's why we're here, right? That's why we're here. Okay, so everybody seems to be unified in that as well. Now let's do the third question. Who is willing to do whatever is necessary to get to heaven? I had to kind of think about that one a little bit more, right? But that really should be our goal. I mean, it is difficult to live the Christian life, especially when you've got worldly darts being thrown at you. It can be extremely difficult. You know, I was posed with these questions in a training session not long ago, and there was a story that followed through with it. And the guy that was delivering the message and he asked us the question was a college football player. At one time, he was a big offensive lineman. I mean, when he stands before us, he's like 6'7", 6'8". And if you know anything about offensive linemen in college, they're the big boys. They're the ones that does all the dirty work down on the line of scrimmage, right? And they don't get a lot of glory for it. So he was talking about they begin to start a new year, and they've got a new head coach. And he walks in, and he's pumped, and he's energized, and he tries to get everybody on board, talking about how great they're going to be. And he asks them the same question. Are you willing to do what is necessary for us to win? And of course, everybody in the room is all excited about that, right? They all want to get out there and they want to do what they can, because that's when you're on a team, that's what you want to do. You want to win the championship, right? That's the ultimate goal. So he said they broke off into their individual team meetings, and here comes their new little offensive line coach. And he said, about 4 foot nothing, right? And here all these big guys are, 6'6", 6'7", 300 pounds. And he comes in, man, did y'all love that message that the coach gave? I am completely on board. What about you guys? Are you on board? Great. Meet me outside on the practice field. Where do we start at 15 minutes early? So they go out 15 minutes early. He lines them up at the goal line. And again, these are big boys. And he has them run 100-yard sprints for 15 minutes before practice. And then they go through practice, and they're out there a couple hours. And at the end of practice, he's got them all over there again. He's like, man, that was exciting, wasn't it? Just the first day. Point them life on the goal line. Let's do this again. Coach, you had us out here 2 hours. And we ran sprints already. Yeah, but you know what? I'm so excited we're going to do this. You told me in the classroom you were going to do everything that you could for us to win a championship, and we're going to be the leaders of this team. So he had them out there 50 minutes, and it kept going. Every day. Now, this is out in Arizona. 100-degree weather. Every day, every practice, before and after, 15 minutes of running sprints. And he says, guys are just falling out left and right. They're having to get IVs out on the field. I mean, they are literally giving everything that they got to this cause. Game 10. They're undefeated. They've blown through their schedule, and they're in by far their toughest game. And here comes this little 4-foot-nothing coach over there. He is all excited again. They've seen that look on his face. But now they've gained confidence, because they were willing and ready, and they knew going into that fourth quarter that they were going to dominate their opponent. And they did. And they went on, and they ended up winning the Pac-12 championship. That's the kind of energy we need. That's the kind of commitment we need if we're going to win our championship. We sang about heaven just now, and we all recognize that our championship is heaven. And I want you to look around, because this is our team. This is the group that's going to help us do what we have to get to heaven. It's our team. We've chosen this church here at East Alton to be that team that can help us get to that championship. So what do we want this team to achieve? I mean, let's be realistic here. What do we want this church to be? We all say we come here collectively, and yeah, we want to glorify God, but what do we want this church to be? And notice, I put the emphasis on we. It's not about I. It's about we. So if you're here this morning, and let me go ahead and put a caveat out there. If you're here this morning, and you're sitting there saying, what am I going to gain today? This is probably not the lesson for you. Because I want to talk about we. I want to talk about us. And I want to know what it is that we want to become. Now, I hope individually you may take some points away from the lesson with you. But this is to talk about this group that meets here at East Austin. This is to talk about this group working within this community. This spiritual team that's trying to help each other get to a championship. This is about us. A year ago, we suffered hard times. We lost our preacher. We had an elder that chose to leave, along with other members, to go worship elsewhere. But each of us stayed. Each of us stayed because we want to make something of the church at East Alton. We stayed because we want to help each other grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stayed because we want to help each other get to heaven. We stayed because we believe that the work here is important. So I'm going to ask the question again that I asked earlier. What do we want this church to become? So let me start by suggesting to you that our attitude needs to be about getting busy in Christ. We need to get busy in Christ. Have you ever been around someone whose attitude is so positive that it's contagious? Maybe it's a speaker that you've heard, and they stand up before you and they talk, and you're captivated by every word. They got some energy. They got some excitement. They got some zeal in what they're saying. And you're sitting there listening to every word. Eric Jenkins was such a man. Eric was a high riser in the world of personal fitness. He had been a professional athlete before, so he had gone through a life of physical fitness. But now he was going to give, and he was going to take that, and he was going to share that with everybody else that he contacted with. He had an extreme amount of energy and excitement and passion for what he did. And soon, that energy, that excitement, that passion led him to develop a string of personal fitness stores. But it also got him into the world of motivational speaking. And top companies from around the nation, they were bringing Eric in to talk to their top executives. And his message was a simple one. He wasn't there to ask them to lose weight. He wasn't asking them there to tell them what it is that they could do to make themselves more physically fit. He was encouraging them to change one life every day. That was what he lived by. That was his motto. All the energy, all the excitement that he had, he lived trying to be a life changer. One life a day. It wasn't about pounds. It wasn't about percentage fat. It was just about that one person. Just one. To me, that's an attitude that is symbolic of being busy. He wanted to change one person every day. And that's something that when we go through and we apply spiritually, we can motivate ourselves to be life changers. Not only can we motivate ourselves to change our life where needed, we can motivate lives that, of those that we come in contact with. We can be life changers. The Bible is filled with life changers, none bigger than Christ. So our attitude needs to be one in which we are busy about being Christ-like. We need to live that Christian life while traveling down this road together. We need to bring as many as we can with us as we travel down this road. So as I consider the question as to what we want to be, I'm going to start out first talking to me. I'm going to talk out to me as one of the shepherds, one of the elders of the congregation here. Okay? Acts 20 and 28 instructs the elders to pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. It's not easy being an elder, especially when you have the kind of year that we've had in the past year. It's not easy being an elder. But you know what? When I accepted that responsibility, I have to understand what my role is. I have to understand the example that I have to set. I have to understand that what God expects of me. I am expected to be a spiritual leader of this flock. And my attitude, the attitude of the other elders, is one that we need to be seen being busy in Christ. We need to be those examples. We need to make sure that we're setting a vision. We need to make sure that our vision is one of righteousness. We need to be steadfast in our righteousness and in our truthfulness. Kevin, Tim, and I need to have a vision. Our drive should be to push the spiritual growth of this church. But the work here is not just about the elders. We involves everyone. Sure, it involves me, but it involves you as well. We need to make sure that we are doing what we can to glorify God. We all are choosing to worship here, and with that, we need to make sure that we are steadfast in righteousness and truthfulness. And as we continue and we talk about considering the work here, we need to be diligent in edification and fellowship. When we show our diligence in our study, when we come together to open God's Word and to learn what it is that we can do, when we come here to build each other up, we all grow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue knowledge, with knowledge self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours, and they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our diligence allows us to add to our faith. Diligence is one of those words where there's action that's implied there. It's got a sense of urgency to it, right? There's work for us to do. We add to our faith. We can ensure that we have high moral standards. We ensure that we can grow in the knowledge so that we know what it is to be more Christ-like. We learn to control our self-desires. We demonstrate patience. We grow in love one to another. And remember, it's the reward that we all strive for. Down in verse 11. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to be diligent. We got to provide the effort, the energy to want to grow. So let me suggest to you today, it's okay in our worship to show a little bit of passion. It's okay to show a little bit of emotion. Last week, if you were here, Jesse led the song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. And before that, he gave a little caveat. And he encouraged everybody to sing. And as we were singing, I could see the emotion in him that that song had. I could see him getting a little emotional, teary-eyed. You know what? It all of a sudden had me emotional. I'm sitting back here kind of, you know, starting to well up a little bit. I gotta stop singing for a minute to collect myself. But what I heard when I stopped singing for just a second, I heard a oneness from this group. I heard a purpose. As we sang about our quest for heaven. And it was great. It was emotional. It was alive. And it's something that I think that our worship can be. Our worship needs to inspire. Our worship needs to have a sense of purpose. Our worship needs to be about us. We read from Romans 5 and 15, 5 and 6, where the God of endurance and encouragement grant to live in such harmony with one another in Christ Jesus, that together you may in one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we're here? But to glorify God with a oneness. We get to serve the Lord together. We get to serve Him powerfully united. We get to do so with a sense of purpose. We get to help each other live in harmony with Christ. And we have a powerful tool. We have God's Word that can help us on this quest. But if you go back to verse 4, just prior to that, it says, "For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We've got that hope for heaven out there. It's our quest in heaven. What do we want this church to be? Let me suggest to you that today is the day of salvation. I mean, that's a biblical concept, right? 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We need to be motivated now. That's what that verse says to me. We need to be motivated now. Before ascending to heaven, Christ instructs his apostles to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Imagine the instructions that they are hearing. They had just seen their master. They had just seen their teacher. They had just seen the Son of God crucified. And here he is telling them to go out and to continue the work that he began. I don't know about you, but that'd kind of be a little worrisome for me, right? There was swift, decisive action that was taken for Jesus. What would they do for me if I was out doing the same thing? But if you go into the book of Acts and you look, Luke begins that book with a reiteration of that same commission. And it's not long after that that Peter is standing up in front of everybody delivering the first gospel sermon in the same city that had just crucified Christ. We need to have that same motivation now. Our purpose is to glorify God. Our mission is to be a shining light in this community. We are to be a beacon of hope. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 tells us that we should be steadfast. We should be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be motivated now. John, I believe you called a meeting for all the teachers. And I think Wednesday night we said, it's all teachers, past, present, and future, right? I want everybody to take just a second. I want you to look around our congregation. And I want you to look specifically at the kids. Are they not worth your passion? Are they not worth your time? Are they not worth the effort that you can put in to see them grow stronger in Christ? What about the teenagers? They're close to being future leaders of this church. They're close to being the ones that's going to be involved in the work of the church. Are they not worth it? The point is, we need teachers. We need teachers' aid. We need anybody that can help. And I think if you put your focus on the church and understanding what it is that together we're trying to accomplish, I would expect that room to be full back there when he has that meeting next week. What do you want this church to be? And what about our visitors? Our visitors should motivate us now. I remember first starting here, and as I was preparing this lesson, it reminded me, you know, I thought about our visitors, and I remembered how we used to have Bring a Neighbor Day. And I couldn't tell you the last time we had those. But I'm here to suggest we need to start those back. And I'm here to suggest that when we do, if we want this church to be all that it can be, then we all need to be busy about inviting them. If we want to balance out the attendance on one side and the other, we got plenty of room over here, right? You know, I started to have everybody at the beginning of the lesson move up into the first five or six rows so that we all had that oneness, so that we all had that closeness. Then I chose not to do that. But it was a thought, okay? And if we want this church all that we can be, we've got to have that oneness. And when it comes to the oneness and we talk about our visitors and having a visitor's day, we need to all be busy about inviting those visitors to come hear the Word of God being spoken. What do we want this church to be? We need a church that's going to grow in the knowledge and the love that's shown throughout the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 encourages us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker. Let me emphasize that. A worker who has no need to be ashamed rightly to handling the word of truth. And John tells us in chapter 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you what? You love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people we know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. How are our visitors, how are those in the community going to know that we love one another? They're going to be able to see that in us. They're going to see it, the care and the concern we have one for another. And maybe that's something they're missing in their life. Maybe they're missing somebody showing a little care and concern for them. If they see that in us, they're going to be drawn to that. Love is a basic fundamental, a basic principle of our faith. We are to love God with all our heart. We are to love Christ for the love that he showed me in dying on the cross. We're to love the Word, the strength, the guidance, the comfort, the confidence, the encouragement that it gives to us. We're told we have to love our enemies. And as suggested in these verses, we're to love one another. Paul demonstrates his love for fellow brethren in many of his letters. He opens his letter to the church at Philippi and he reveals his great love for them. He thinks of them often. He expresses his concern for them, and he prays for them regularly. That's something that we can do. He also suggests that he has other asks in his prayers. Down in chapter 1 in verses 9 through 11, he says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. As so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Later in the chapter, he also offers other concepts that we too need to consider when defining our work here. He encourages them to be unified and strive for victory. If we follow his encouragement in chapter 2, what we're going to find is that we're going to be of the same mind. We're going to have the same love. We're going to be in full accord with one mind. And we're going to humbly count others more significant than ourselves. It's an encouragement for unity. It's an encouragement for the victory that comes in Christ. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us be united. Let us seek Christ above all and find righteousness in Him. Let us seek Christ-like humility and find God's will in His Word. Let us seek love and the hope that we can all find victory. What do you want this church to be? When you look around collectively, we've got mothers, we've got fathers, we've got sons, we've got daughters. We've got some that work in the home, we've got some that work outside of the home. We've got teachers, we've got preachers, we've got doctors, we've got accountants, we've even got a trash man. The Word of God calls Christians to be soldiers, workers, fishermen. Christians are compared to athletes, to vessels, to lights. We're all different, but we can all be called on to do different things. It's our hope and our inheritance through Jesus that unites us. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, we are chosen. In Christ, we are holy and blameless and have every spiritual blessing. In Christ, we have a purpose. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we have an inheritance. What do you want this church to be? We can be all this, but it's going to take effort on everyone's part. Successful teams have a desire for victory. They put in the effort. They put in the hours of preparation. And when it comes time to perform, it takes everybody on that team doing their part. I like to say that it's a matter of want to. It's a word I use at work a lot of times. We want to improve, we have to want to. Okay? It's not just not going to happen. Right? You got to have that desire. You got to have that inner being inside of you saying, we need to do something different. We got to have that want to. It's got to be a yearning from us. If we want to improve, we have to have that desire. We have to have that passion that we want to improve. We have to be zealous in glorifying God. What do we want this church to become? If you look on the left and the right, there's one letter left. X. Or if you didn't know, I've used every letter of the alphabet in some way of what we want this church to become. And I challenge anybody to go find a word that starts with the letter X that can put in here. What I have chosen to say, X marks the spot. It's here that we call home. It's here that we come together to draw inspiration from one another. It's here that we come together to learn more about Christ. It's here that we come together to help aid others to want to get to heaven. It's here where we raise our kids. It's here where we work together. So where do we go from here? You know, together, we'll determine that course. As mentioned, Bobby is going to take over as our minister. He's going to take over the pulpit. And I'm excited about that. Not because he's Deborah's dad. Because I know what you're in a treat for. I know that he is a hardworking and that he is a loyal servant of God that's going to come in here and he's going to deliver messages that we need to hear. He's going to help guide us in our journey together. What do we want this church to be? Many use the scoreboard. I like to call it scoreboard. Okay. Many use that to determine success or failure. Are you growing? Nope, you're failing. Are you increasing contribution? Nope, you're failing.
I'm not real big on scoreboard. I guess you could tell that already. But if that's how you gauge success, if that's how you determine how well we are working and how well we are doing as a congregation, then my question to you is, what are you doing to help us improve that number? What are you doing to help fill this side of the room? If that's how you want to look at it, then you need to be encouraged. You need to be challenged to help us move that number. Make no mistake about it. This lesson was meant to challenge us all. And I hope in some small way today you have been challenged, because that was the intent of the message. After all, it's about us. In just a few short weeks, we move into 2020. It's a new year with new opportunities and challenges. And at the beginning of the lesson, I suggested to you that our attitude needs to be about getting busy in Christ. Let's make 2020 a busy year. Today, you have the opportunity to change your life. Eternal life is only promised to those who abide in Christ. And if you've not started your journey with Christ, you can begin that journey today. You can be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and you can start your new life in Christ. And if you've already started talking or started walking your walk, and you could use the prayers of the brethren, I'd like to encourage you to do so today. 2020 is quickly coming upon us. What do you want us to become? What do we want to become? If you're here today and you need a prayer for the brethren, with anything we can do for, we ask that you stand together. Ooh.